Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, April 14th, 2025. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. And as usual, the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. People who are joining through phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can press *9 to virtually raise or lower hands. Everyone who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise or lower the virtual hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful because then we know somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. I do request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking, because it helps us eliminate any external noise. As you know, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this call. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name or your comments, because it helps them in doing their job well. It also helps everyone listening on the phone call, and when people listen to the meeting audio, it helps them knowing who the speakers were at the time. We also request speakers to describe themselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I'm wearing reading glasses and I have long dark hair. I've got a cream color top on with some polka dots. So if you can just describe yourself briefly, that would be great. We do have Prince George's County team with us today, and they have a fantastic presentation that they'll be sharing. And I would just ask for remind presenters that if you can, please describe your presentation as much as you can for the convenience of our members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision, because it helps them in getting information from the presentation. Chair Calabia, if you concur, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and then go to the roll call.
Please do.
Great, thank you. So before I start reading the meeting agenda, I will share my screen. And as the agenda is on my screen, if somebody can confirm, I would appreciate that. So I believe the agenda should be on my screen now.
No.
It's not?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Great, thank you. So just like I said, as soon as I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. After that, we have Mr. Aponte, Samia Hackett, Oluosi Olubne, and obviously Mr. Drummer joining us. Mr. Aponte is going to give us an overall information about the Prince George's County, the transit vision plan, and any information that they have at this time. Time permitting, we will talk about wayfinding signage at four stations. That's a committee discussion, and that pertains to static signs at Lafond Plaza Station, Metro Center, Roslyn, and Gallery Place Chinatown. At 5:45, we will take public comments, if any, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now and going to the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster. I apologize. Susan did inform that she is going to be joining a little later today. Darnese Bush.
Alert. Audio now unmuted. Alert.
Green. Gino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy. Tawan Farmer. Debbie Fisher. Just for the record, Debbie Fisher did inform she may not be able to join the meeting today. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Sarah Raab.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Samelford. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simono.
And this is Rico here. I don't know if I missed my name being called, but I am here.
Okay, great. Thank you. Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. And I just want to state for the record that Thomas Mangrum, Doris Rush, and Denise Rush have informed that they may not be able to join a few meetings. So I just wanted to state that for the record. Chair Calabia, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Yes. We start with reviewing the agenda and approving it. The agenda was on the screen. All in favor of using the agenda as proposed, please say aye.
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 Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. The prior minute meeting minutes were reviewed last Monday. You have had it for several weeks in draft form. Do I hear an affirmative move to adopt the minutes, approve the minutes? Please say yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Hearing no objections to the draft minutes, the minutes are now approved. Thank you. It is 4:07, and we do have our Prince George's County guests. As Anu mentioned, the materials they have provided are really fantastic. Now we'll have a presentation by the Prince George's representatives, and we'll be able to ask them questions and discuss it. Mr. Aponte, would you introduce your colleagues and start the presentation?
Great, yes, I'll do that. Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Anu, as well. I just want to start by just acknowledging that we're very, very happy to be here. We're super happy that you've given us a chance to talk about what we've been doing in the county pertaining to transit and how we want to improve transit over the next couple of years. Again, my name is Ifon Apanti. I am an employee of Prince George's County Department of Public Works and Transportation, Office of Transportation. I'm the Chief of Transit Planning and Innovations. I'm wearing the glasses. I got a bald head here. So I'll also move to introduce my colleagues here, Ms. Samaya Hackett and Olise. Ms. Samaya?
Yes.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Samaya Hackett. I am also with the Prince George's County Department of Public Works and Transportation. I have brown skin, and I have on a blue shirt, a blue golf shirt.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oluse Olubenle. I am the Deputy Director of the Department of Public Works and Transportation. I am a Black female with glasses and brown skin, medium length Black braids, and I'm wearing a Black shirt and a Black and white striped jacket. I do have a few words that I would like to say before I pass it on to Ifon. I wanted to thank the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Thank you for your time Thank you for welcoming the department to provide an update to you. I also want to thank the chair for his leadership in ensuring that we do meet those needs throughout the region and in transportation. At the beginning of probably around 2023, near the end of 2023, the team really got together to think about how we could reimagine what is possible with transit. And we wanted to make sure that we not just thought about where we are, but where we know we need to be. We've heard from a lot of you, we've heard from the public, we've heard from riders, and we know that there is a need to not just improve where we are, but to really meet the needs of all riders. Particularly those vulnerable populations. And so again, we'll take the team, Yifan, will take you through where we are with the Transit Vision Plan, but we really do welcome your feedback. We welcome your questions. And if we don't have enough time in this meeting, please know that you can reach out to us at any point. We'll share our contact information so that we can stay engaged and in communication with all of you. So thank you again for your time. And with that, I'll pass it back to Yifan.
Olusei,
Thank you.
I should say that we're prepared to postpone the rest of our topics for today's meeting if necessary to be able to hear your presentation and to see the materials that you presented. As a matter of fact, I would support and affirm what Anu said about the presentation materials that you finally delivered. She called them fantastic and they're very impressive looking. So please take as much time as you need.
Thank you.
We do have questions. We've had questions for some time,
Okay.
and we'd like to have you respond to questions we've asked.
Sure. Thank you so much. And with that, Yifan, I'll pass it back to you.
Great. Thank you, Alisha. I also want to introduce Finn, who is our consultant working with the county to they've been doing a great job supporting us in doing this work. So he will deliver part of this presentation. But without much time to waste here, I'll go ahead and start talking about what the county has been doing and the progress that we've made on our Transit Vision Plan. Next slide, please. So, we just want to talk a little bit about the progress that we've made since December, when we last provided a presentation to this committee. We've been able to review and update some of our data to better reflect the recommendations that were made previously as to how we're going to operate bus services and other related services in the county. We've also expanded on the recommendations for funding, operations, staffing, and developing development of developments in the county. When I talk about developments, we're talking about housing, roads, and other related infrastructures, which are based on feedback that we have received from members of this committee, as well as from the general public. And then we've done a thorough rewrite of the TVP in more accessible language and in a public friendly concept. This was one of the comments that we received from we received some comments from the public when we went out there and did a first round of outreach, and folks wanted us to have a more simplified document that with graphics that can be easily understood by many. Next slide, please. So again, just providing a snapshot of where we are, what we've done in terms of engagement, in terms of feedback, and what we plan to do. So in our previous round, we've done about 80 TVP events. So we made pop-ups, we've done pop-ups, we've done some roadshow, we've done ride along across the entire system. We've done meetings with our homeowner association groups and other community partners to get their feedback about their needs and expectations for transit in the county. So this, you know, and based on that, one of the things that we heard from our riders and constituents was that they wanted a more reliable service. They wanted us to think about our operating hours to better reflect how people are traveling and where they're traveling to. So these were some of the big stuff that we heard. Another pertinent issue was coverage in terms of accessibility, the time when we provide service, and the means by which we're providing service. So in some communities, bus may not be the most optimal solution. So we've thought about this and we're coming up with some alternatives. Now for upcoming feedback, we're really asking that some of the stuff that we're doing here is aspirational, but we're asking for people to look at this, for this committee to look at this, share it with other constituents, and then provide us feedback as to what we can improve and how we can improve so that this plan is something that is actionable, it is implementable, and it reflects the needs of all mobility users in the county. And when we, you know, our approach is that we're providing mobility services. So when we think about fixed route, we're also thinking about other alternatives, paratransit services that we provide in the county, the metro access service that is really important in how most of our customers move from point A to point B, but also our weekend and taxi services that we've contracted with Uber. So all of these kind of paint a picture of where we are in terms of engagement and what we need going forward and what we expect to hear from the public. Next slide, please. This slide is just an overall picture. It's a roadmap for us creating a more vibrant and connected Prince George's County for all. To achieve this, we've outlined some of our strategies and actions to improve the county services, transit services, and infrastructure. Again, the background here is that we want to engage with everyone by asking about their transit experience, learning about their needs, so that informs our values, it informs our expectations, and then we came up with some pillars that guides us in terms of how we think about transportation in the county. The next process that we also did is we came up with some aspirational goals and strategies. By engaging and asking questions to our stakeholders, we're able to come up with a strategy, you know, with strategic feedback that helps us to understand the background, you know, how we formulate our methodologies or analysis, and then, you know, informed our strategies. So we have four main strategies that I will be talking about on how we look at, you know, how we look at transit in the county, or four main areas. Again, there's also an implementation action plan as part of this. So one of the things that we thought about was actionable planning. We wanted to develop a plan that can be implemented. And this was something that was very important to our leadership. We wanted to make sure that what we say is what can be implemented and what can really make a difference to our stakeholders. And then as part of this entire effort is what we call transit transformation, which is TVP is just one piece of our transit transformation initiative in the county. We have zero emission buses that we're implementing. And we have some challenges with federal funding, but the county is moving forward with transitioning its fleet from diesel to zero emissions to help with our environmental and other related outcomes that we've committed to. We're also thinking about how we're improving customer service and being a more customer-oriented organization. So all of these are pieces in our transit transformation initiative. And then we're thinking about, again, how do we better serve the public in terms of how do we organize ourselves, engage the community, set up different structures that can help us to better serve the need in terms of the infrastructure and the services in the county. So all of those fits into our transit transformation initiative. The one of the things that we've, you know, with the transit transformation initiative, how the TVP fits into this is that we have some steps where we've basically summarized how we do business or how we practice the planning effort. Here is we identify, you know, steps for funding. We do our planning, which is just rationalizing how we make decisions. We work on design. Again, service design, infrastructure design, which could be bus stop or other related customer service design, and then the construction, which is again implementing these actions in a way that benefits our public. Next slide, please. Here's a background of where we are. I'll highlight a few things. There's plenty of information here. I hope that we can go through some of it, but I'll just do the highlights. So what are the things that we've observed throughout this process? Again, we identified four areas of opportunities. One is funding. Funding has been it's just something that for us to be able to deliver service, high quality service, and deliver service that meets the needs and expectation of all individuals in the county, we need to think about how we maximize our funding, but also how do we support more funding for Metro and other regional transit providers so that we're all in this together and we can work together to provide better services in Prince George's County. Metro provide quite a lot of service in the county, so we want that to continue, but we also need to balance where Metro is operating and where the county is operating. And this is something that Finn is going to speak to when we start talking about how this fits into the Better Bus Network redesign. Operations. Again, yeah, the main key, the key attributes of the key takeaway here are quality of service coverage and then addressing the needs of our aging fleet and our transit facilities, including bus stops and other park and ride lots of points of convergence. So we're thinking about how do we improve it. So these are areas of opportunities. Staffing, again, it has been difficult to hire and retain bus drivers. It's been a challenge. The county is going through, and we're working on professional development, rolling out some very good programs across the board to help with this. But this is an area of big opportunity for us. Development, again, when I talk about development, we're really talking about land use development here and other related infrastructure. So we're looking at areas of low density development and population growth and congestion. So yeah, it's really a segmentation where we want to decide how best to serve different areas in the county. In the county, we have some areas that are highly populated and very dense, the most northern part of the county. And then we have some areas that are less dense, like the southern part of the county. We're talking about the Brandywine, Clinton area, Waldorf area, Akiki. So all of these areas. We're thinking about how do we provide transit services to the citizens here and how, the methodology or the best way of providing transit service. It may not be a bus, maybe we have some other things like microtransit, and how can we balance the needs to ensure that.
Irfan, excuse me, Irfan.
Yes, sir.
The script is rather small for coverage needs. And I think you did mention at least one area by name that needs. Could you mention other areas where transit is needed?
Yes. So in the south of the county, we need better connectivity in the south part of the county, Brandywine area, Clinton, Akiki, all those areas in the south need better connectivity to transit, especially down from Branch Avenue heading down, or areas where Addison Road is another area of opportunity where we need to think about how best to improve service. The other areas in the northern part of the county, like Bowie, that connects right to the Bowie State University, that also need us to think about how can we better serve this population because it's more residential, so we don't have high density development. So these are some of the areas that we've identified as needs. Now we have some other areas that are highly populated areas in the county, like Laurel and Hightsville, where we identify that there's still need for more services in those areas because they serve like bedroom communities, and people need connectivity to transit, either metro, rail, or better bus service. So those are some of the key areas. Probably Finn can help me speak to some of the other areas, but those are some of the areas that came to mind based on your question.
Thank you for naming at least a few of them for the record. Thank you, Ifan.
Great. Next slide, please. We'll talk a little bit about our aspirational strategies. So these are recommendations, policies, and programs for improvements. They also respond to and are first grouped by the four categories that we talked about, or the four challenges and opportunities. Again, the funding, the operations, staffing, and fiscal development. And then we have the secondary group that are based on subject matter. For example, we're talking about customer experience improvements that are needed for service enhancement. The chart just shows the number of bus stop improvements throughout the county, like areas where we need to improve bus stops. This is important because bus stops really tells a little bit, it tells a lot about the accessibility of the system. How, we design the bus stop, if they meet ADA compliance, if they have shelters, if people on wheelchair can easily navigate in and out of a bus stop or shelter. So these are some areas of opportunities that we've highlighted on the map. I know it's a little bit hard to see, so I apologize for that. I think this is something that we just wanted to highlight, the kind of things that we're doing in terms of, I'll just give you a snapshot, areas of improvements that we're looking forward to.
Efan, are you talking about possibly constructing new bus stops, especially where there are none? Will these be new?
Some of it is going to be new. Most of it is where we currently have existing bus stops that needs improvements so that they're more accessible and they connect to sidewalks.
Efan, I will share with you a photo and ex explanation of a model bus stop, which I just shared today. I will share that with you, and maybe that is something you can consider as you build new ones. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, that would be super helpful. And we recognize the need for us to have better customer facilities throughout the county. And some of this also relates to other efforts that the county is doing. The county, our highway division is working on a pedestrian and asset, and road asset accessibility or inventory, where we're taking together areas of opportunities to extend sidewalks. Improve crosswalks. And as we do that across the county, we're going to learn about areas where we can go out there and deliver better bus stops and make sure that there's enough connectivity for our riders.
Great.
Next slide, please. This is a sample of our aspirational strategy. It's really based on again, connectivity and improvements. I will talk about development here and other streamlined projects like TOD. When we talk about development, we're just talking about improvements, as I mentioned, our pedestrian and road inventory that projects that include bikes and pedestrian infrastructure. A lot of times, people have to walk a few hundred steps before they get to the bus stop, or a few meters or feet. So we need to have those accessible pathways that are safe, number one, and they're comfortable so that people can use our bus service. But we're also thinking about bikes because a lot of folks in the county are getting to use bikes more. And how do we also link bicycle to transit so that people can effectively use one mode, bicycle as a mode, and transfer to a transit or to a bus? So these are areas of opportunities for us to improve. So we're going to be adding we add bike and scooter parking near transit stations and major transfer point is an area of opportunity for us. As we also do this, we're thinking about our Vision Zero program. So I forgot to mention that just interlining our Vision Zero initiative, where we try to reduce vehicle, pedestrian vehicle conflict and other fatalities across the county by redesigning our roadways and making sure that transit is integrated in that effort. Another thing, yeah, is really continuously improving on our transit of our sidewalks and trails throughout the county, and also making universal accessible design improvements as we work on making these physical roadway improvements in the county. Another stream of improvements that we're thinking about is just streamline transit-oriented development projects in the county. There's quite a lot going on. Some of it is being done by WMATA, others are being done by the state of Maryland, Department of the Maryland Department of Transportation. So streamline TOD development throughout the county. So yeah, it's really study TOD implementation with a focus on specific opportunities and locations for affordable housing, workforce housing, and transit funding district. These are things that we want to do over the next 5 years because there's quite a lot of development along certain corridors in the county. Continuously monitor the development process in the county and to ensure it is compatible with transit or other transit elements. This will allow us to be more proactive in adjusting bus routes, bus stops, and other related transit infrastructure like bikes and also shelters and whatever falls under that. Improves involve the Maryland National Commission Park and Planning Commission in what we do so that we can work in collaboration with the county planners and other private developers to more closely support transit planning and also ensure that future developments in the county they're more compatible with transit. We want to also think, we're thinking about opportunities for us to create mobility hubs at TOD locations. So for example, right now we have the Greenbelt the Greenbelt Metro Station. We have the Hyattsville Crossing Metro Stations, where there's quite a lot of development in and around these areas in the county. And we want to think about opportunities to make these areas transit hub where we have buses, we have bicycle, scooter, really making sure that there's kind of multimodality in terms of how we think about transit and opportunities in the county, but also aligning that with housing, especially low and moderate income housing. So these are some of the initiatives and priorities of the county. Use the WMATA Joint Development Effort, Joint Development Program to coordinate on forthcoming and proposed TOD opportunities across the county. So these are like great opportunities for us to collaborate with our stakeholders. I just want to mention that TOD is something that we collaborate with other departments in the county. We have our redevelopment authority. We have our housing department and other related departments that support TOD. So this is a multi-departmental effort internally, but also with external partners to make it more friendly for transit development in the county. Next slide, please. I'll rush through this because for time's sake. So another sampling of our aspirational strategies also include BRT, the Bus Rapid Transit Initiative. So we've done a study about BRT. We feel like there are a couple of corridors in the county that are primed for BRT. And as we develop high capacity transit in the county, I think it's going to really help with transit accessibility and helping to reduce commute times or trip times, but also providing greater frequency throughout the county. That will also encourage development across the county. Create a bus priority improvement pool with TSP, which is transit signal priority to address issues of reliability so that we can speed up buses throughout some congested corridors. For example, we all know Route 1 It's a great corridor, but it's super congested. So how are we looking for opportunities to better improve how buses flow in these congested corridors? And then build BRT and express bus lanes. Again, these are other opportunities that we're thinking about, including the I-95 corridor or the Maryland 458, which is Silver Hill Road, where we've done some work with the WMATA team, very fantastic work on some tier, some transit improvements in this corridor. Next slide, please. So implementation strategy is really about our short and medium-term focus. Yeah, we're thinking about short-term actions, which are actions that we can take between 1 to 3 years. We focus on the immediate needs and quick fixes. Medium-term actions are actions from 3 to 5 years that may require more preparation of funding for it to be implemented. And then long-term and ongoing actions, broader actions to achieve our broader goals, our more transformative goals that requires collaboration and over a long period of time. Next slide, please. Transit transformation. Again, this is really how everything is coming together for us. I'll read through some of the stuff here, which is we finally move our actions into our transit transformation process. Again, as I mentioned, we're thinking about a holistic and comprehensive approach to improving transit in the county, which is, the TVP is just part of that. So this process, it involves securing funding, monitoring progress using metrics and planning, and then design and construction. The TVP provides an overview of this of the process with most of the details, including the cost estimate provided in an accompanying technical report. There's quite a lot of information here. I think this is going to be a good read for the committee and have opportunities for us to talk about questions and answer. But if you look at it overall, we're thinking about our planning process mostly within the next 3 years from now to 2028, where we're identifying opportunities and areas where we can focus our planning towards implementation. Our design process is from 2028 to 2030. Well, again, we're thinking about design concepts on what needs to be implemented, how things will be implemented, and then we work towards achieving that. And then construction is anything beyond 2030. And I just want to mention that this slide, it doesn't just speaks to the operational aspect of what we're doing. It really speaks to some of the capital projects that we plan to do. For example, we plan to do a comprehensive bus stop improvement project where we're going to be doing bus stops across the county in a phased approach. But we're also thinking about a transit facility that we're working towards. So this falls under that. Then the BRT also falls under this particular scheme. So I just want to make sure that the committee understands that our transit transformation is not just the operational side of what we do in terms of service delivery, but it also involves the infrastructure that is needed for us to be able to deliver the services that we want to deliver. Some of the projects that we've identified, again, I mentioned the bus stops, a new transit facility. We're also working to complete a microgrid. It's kind of a hybrid microgrid, which is going to be about 2.5 megawatt of power generation at our existing transit facility. So this is big. We have our PGC Link microtransit service, where we plan to implement about five microtransit zones in the county over the next couple of years. And then our continuous improvements, where we're building high capacity transit corridors in collaboration with WMATA and the state. And then our multimodal transit options in and around stations that also relates to the TOD, the bikes, the scooters. How do we bring everything together and make sure that transit is more accessible to affordable housing as well? Next slide, please. All right, Finn, I'll let you take it from here.
Thanks, Yifan. Hi, everybody. My name is Finn Vigeland. I'm a white man with blonde hair, wearing glasses, dark shirt with red and orange pattern. And I'm on the consultant team supporting Prince George's County, both here on the Transit Vision Plan, as well as I've also supported Prince George's County and Metro on the Better Bus Network redesign over the last 3 years. So this section of the presentation talks a little bit about how Better Bus, or which we sometimes just call BBNR for Better Bus Network Redesign, how BBNR fits into the Transit Vision Plan and how the Transit Vision Plan fits into BBNR. As I believe you all are well aware, BBNR is being implemented this June 29th. And that is a redesign of both Metro bus routes and of the county's bus routes on the bus. And so, indeed, BBNR is an integral part of this transit vision plan for the county. It supports a lot of the aspirational strategies that Yifan just referenced, and many more, which can be found in the plan. Throughout this entire plan, we talk about how both the 2025 network of BBNR, which is that network that's being implemented this June, as well as the visionary network of BBNR, which is the more aspirational network that requires roughly 30% additional funding to be implemented. We talk about how those two networks fit into the county's goals of the TVP and how they respond to the feedback themes that Yifan referenced. So those are reliability, operating hours, and better coverage of the county. The 2025 network, which is again that network being implemented this June, is resource neutral, meaning it's operated with the same amount of hours of service on the road as the bus network. But it does offer a lot of improvements, and it also lays the groundwork for something that I know a lot of people will be excited about, like the addition of Sunday service in Prince George's County on the bus. This graphic describes just a snapshot of the bus's 2025 network and some of the improvements that we'll see immediately in June, as well as some of the improvements that it identifies for the county to make over the next several years. One, slight improvement that we'll see is that the average frequency across all of the county's routes will improve from every 36 minutes, as it is right now, to every 33 minutes in the future network. One of the ways this is possible is, again, just by designing better routes that where the operators where excuse me, where the layover time between routes is not as large a percentage of the overall hours of service on the road. So by being more efficient with our scheduling and by designing routes that are of an ideal length to fit into a scheduling block, we're able to offer slightly more frequency, excuse me, we're able to offer more frequency in this new network. We are improving operating hours. The number of the bus routes running past 7 p.m. on weekdays will increase from 7 to 10. That will be true in June. Down the line, and ideally by the end of this year, the county hopes to introduce Sunday service as well. That operating plan is still in development, but it's something that the county is very excited to roll out. The next section of this graphic describes some of the coverage improvements that the 2025 network, which is again between both Metro and the county's bus service. So some of the coverage improvements across those two operators are in Kantera on Virginia Manor Road. We will see the introduction of express service on Route 1. That route will be operated by Metrobus, but it will be a limited stop service running from Rhode Island Avenue up to the IKEA on Route 1. There will be better service on Mitchellville Road in Bowie. There will be restructured service and additional service in Fort Washington, including new service to the Fort Washington Medical Center. Something else that's not called out in particular on this graphic, but which I know the county is also excited about, is the addition of direct service to the Kaiser Permanente in Fairwood, a little bit off of Annapolis Road. So we are seeing, new areas gaining service in the 2025 network, with even more to come down the line. I believe you all are aware, but I will mention again the rollout of the new route naming system that will apply to all bus routes as part of this new network. I see the chairman nodding, so just to briefly mention it, all bus routes that either Metro or the bus operates in Prince George's County will begin with the letter P for Prince George's, in the same way that DC routes will begin with D or C, Montgomery County routes will begin with M, and so on and so forth. But the bus is a partner in this new naming effort, so you will see the bus routes with names that match the same convention that Metro Bus is applying to all of its routes across the entire region. In general, this graphic here demonstrates how the route numbers generally increase going clockwise around the county. So, for the routes that the county is operating itself, the lowest number is P19, which takes you all the way up to Laurel, and the highest number route that the county will operate is P95, which takes you all the way down to Fort Washington. So there is a logic to that numbering system around the county as well. On the next slide, we talk a little bit about the Visionary Network, which expands evening and weekend service. And also adds 9 new routes within Prince George's County, routes that don't exist at all on either operator in the 2025 network. Some of the frequency improvements we'll see in the Visionary Network are, again, a continued improvement in headways. So from 33 minutes in the 2025 network to an average of every 29 minutes in the Visionary Network. And I want to clarify a point that I don't think I made clear. Excuse me. These headways refer specifically to the county's headways, the frequency of routes that the county operates. When you average in all of the routes that Metro also operates in Prince George's County, I believe that that average frequency does get even better. In the Visionary Network, the number of the bus routes running past 7 p.m. Will increase from 10 to 28, and we'll also see 32 of the bus routes will get more weekend service. So again, that's the addition not of Sunday service, which the county is hoping to roll out this year. And in general, we'll just push more routes to operate on the weekends that are weekday only. There are also 9 new routes in the Visionary Network. I won't list them all right here, but just some highlights are a route connecting Laurel to Bowie, a route connecting to through Rosaryville and Marlton, which does not have any bus service right now, a route that connects down to Accokeek, and then an extension of a route which currently ends in Brandywine, but will continue south to Waldorf, and a handful of other routes across the county as well. Some other notes about the Visionary Network. The county plans to rebuild schedules just to improve frequency standards. We want to improve the transfer experience, so we want to make sure you can transfer from one route to another and not have a long waiting period between those two steps of your journey. The bus plans to transition routes 301 and 302 that are currently operated by the RTA of Central Maryland. The bus plans to transfer those routes under its own operation and increase coverage in Laurel. So those are some of the highlights of the Visionary Network. Another service planning element of this plan that I want to talk about is the development of more PGC Link zones. PGC Link is the county's current microtransit service, which right now operates in just one zone, which stretches from Accokeek through Fort Washington, National Harbor, Oxon Hill, Clinton, and Camp Springs. We know that microtransit is a really important mode of service. That this is a huge county with a lot of low density growth, and not every area can be efficiently served by a fixed route bus route. And microtransit is a really good solution to that. The TVP supports the development of those fixed route bus networks by also expanding PGC Link microtransit service. So the plan is to expand from one zone to five, with potentially more in the future, but the county has already identified the five zones it would like to roll out. And there's an implementation and operations plan under development to figure out exactly how to store, stage, and operate additional microtransit vehicles. So those zones include splitting the existing PGC Link zone from one to two. By having a smaller zone, the wait times will decrease. You can perhaps imagine how, when you have a very large zone, it's challenging for a vehicle to get from one end of the zone to the other. And so if we reduce the size of the zone to better match people's actual travel habits, we're also able to be more responsive in sending out a vehicle to pick up a waiting passenger. So that one existing zone will split into two. They will overlap a little bit in Oxon Hill for those customers who do need to get the full length of the zone. But it's a very small percentage of current customers who do that. And then the three additional zones that brings it us up to five will operate in Laurel, in Hyattsville, and in Bowie. So again, this is something that the county is hoping to roll out in the short-term section of its plan. Finally, another aspirational strategy that ties in with the development of more just transit service is to develop high capacity transit corridors. So, as we all know, increasing congestion leads us to often have very slow trips on our bus journeys. And so we can improve the transit that we already have on the road, as well as this new transit that I've just highlighted, by implementing transit priority infrastructure. So in the Transit Vision Plan, we describe these high capacity transit corridors as intended to offer faster service separated from traffic whenever that's possible. So separation can come in many forms, whether that's a dedicated bus lane, a guideway, or other methods. We can also support transit priority through things like queue jumps or transit signal priority. Some of the existing high capacity corridors in the region, and of course, include old staples like Metrorail. We look to the Metroway in Virginia, Flash and our neighbors in Montgomery County, and the forthcoming Purple Line as other good examples of high capacity corridors. Something like Southern Maryland Rapid Transit that stretches down the Route 5 corridor is another good example of a sort of forthcoming high capacity corridor. This last section is what we still have to do. And so I'll wrap us up and describe our next steps. So by the end of this month, we will finish and publish the first draft of the TVP. We will also launch a new website that will host that published TVP and facilitate any public comment. We're looking to hear from all of you and all of our constituents in Prince George's County about what they think of this plan. By the end of May, we will update the TVP. We will take stock of those comments and then make a plan to update the TVP and that website to respond to public comments. And we will also publish the tech reports, which describe all of these strategies in much more detail. And then after that process is over, starting the summer, we will commence more engagement activities on the TVP that are focused on some of the specific strategies in action. So whereas engagement in the past has maybe focused on the TVP overall, we will identify opportunities to focus on those individual strategies and actions. And I believe that's the last slide of this presentation. So with that, I yield back to the chair. We look forward to your questions and thank you so much for your time.
Finn, you mentioned that you're a consultant.
Yes.
You're a consultant both to Prince George's County as well as to BBNR.
That's correct. Yes, I've worked on I've worked for both clients, both organizations on both the Transit Vision Plan and on BBNR.
Okay, thank you. That's just trying to make that clear for the record.
Absolutely.
I thought there was one more panel besides the one you've just covered.
I know that we revised the slides just a little bit based on some of the latest feedback that we heard from county leadership. So this is the slightly updated version of the slide deck from what you received. So apologies that maybe what you're looking at has potentially another slide in it.
Okay. There are vast improvements, both in coverage and in the timing of when buses will come, and also improvements where buses will now, will eventually go that are not covered at the moment. Just today, in the Washington Post, the Metro section, page B1. I'll read a brief passage that Governor Moore mentioned for Maryland. Governor Moore said in today's post, "I'm obsessed with making sure we're enhancing transportation because people have to go from where they live to where they work." Obviously, there are other considerations too. Family members need to go to other family members. People need to go to their doctors and such. So the vast improvements that you're foreseeing with this plan that you have presented are right on in terms of what Governor Moore has mentioned and what we all hope will happen. I will now turn to members of the committee, and may I start with perhaps Sandy Neuzel, who as vice chair, because I couldn't be present back in August when we met with some state legislatures. Sandy chaired that meeting, and also Patrick Sheehan, our AAC chair, was at that meeting.
No, he wasn't.
And if you have any questions or comments, since you initiated this process with for us at in Prince George's County back in August, I'll start with you.
Okay, thank you. This is Sandy Neuzel, second vice chair of the Bus and Rail Subcommittee. The plan looks ambitious. It sounds promising, but I'm hopeful that this 1 to 3 years out, 3 to 5 years out and beyond doesn't mean that we're just, almost starting at square one again. I am optimistic that with in coordination with a better bus network rollout at the end of June and your rollout with zero cost change and the added bus routes and the slightly more efficient bus schedules and reducing the time between buses. I'm very optimistic that the short-term implementation of that is very helpful to Prince George's County residents. I do have a very down in the weeds, nitty-gritty comment, or excuse me, question, I should say, about the PG Link, Prince George's County Link buses that you refer to as micro transit, microbuses. Micro transit, I think, is the correct word. How does a person get those? And well, first of all, are those five zones going to become, I know you said it, but I've already forgotten it. Will those five zones be implemented at the end of June? And how does one get a ride on those? Is that stand at a bus stop or is that schedule call and schedule a ride?
Sure. I'm happy to answer that question, Yifan, if you would like.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sure.
And then I have a follow-up.
Great. Thank you so much for your question and for your support. I agree it's an ambitious plan, but the county is very excited. And yeah, not starting from square one. We're building on a lot of progress. And to speak to the microtransit question specifically, so the way that the microtransit works is you schedule a ride in advance through an app, and so you can enter your origin and your destination. Those have to both be within the designated zone, and the vehicle comes directly to where you are, so you don't have to walk out to a bus stop, but it is a point-to-point service. The new zones will not be rolled out by June. I don't think the county has a specific timeline here, but there is an operations plan to operate those five zones. I just think the timing is not solidified at this point.
Okay, so my follow-up question, you already answered, the point-to-point has to be within that zone. The same zone of origin is the zone of the destination. Okay.
That's correct.
I'll yield to others now, and I may come up with more questions, but Anu, do it. Does anyone else have their hand raised?
Well, I see
Yes.
that a member has their hand up, two members have hands up, and one member of the public. But Patrick Sheehan was also at the August meeting and has been following this closely. Patrick, are you there?
I
And
sure am, Tino. Thank you. Yes. Following on Sandy's question about the PG County Link, in the past, there was one such microtransit system where you had to call 2 weeks beforehand, and the system ran from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon with no weekend service. So are these going to be same day service type setups, or and what are the hours going to be? Third part of that question is, are these microtransit center links areas considered part of the fixed route system? That's critical.
Sure. Well, let's see. In terms of the lead time to schedule a ride, you are able to schedule a ride the same day. You're right that the current Prince George's Link hours of operation are from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. And the plan is to significantly expand the operating hours of those future zones. We recognize naturally, people take a lot of really critical trips that microtransit can serve outside of those hours. So the plan is certainly to expand service. This entire Transvision plan describes implementing a pilot to expand the zone before ultimately scaling up to the full five zones. I'm not sure right now if that pilot will include weekend service, but I know that it is a goal of the full plan to have weekend service of the microtransit zones. So I think the county is undertaking those steps right now to determine what exactly that pilot will look like.
Okay, and two more questions to that. I'm sorry. You did mention that someone would be able to access this system through an iPhone, Android or iPhone, but you might have individuals who don't use that technology in that area. Will they be able to use the phone to make to schedule a ride? That's number one. And the more important question is, are these microtransit link zones considered part of the fixed route system? And I ask that because I want to know if these areas are going to be covered by Metro Access.
Oh, I understand. Okay, so to speak to the first question, I actually think I have to defer to the county. I'm not positive. I believe that you should be able to call the county customer service line, and they might be able to schedule the trip. But
Yes.
I yeah.
So we have a customer service line that customers can call and make their reservation for the
Great.
microtransit.
Good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, in terms of the fixed route and Metro Access, this is not considered a fixed route service. It's also it's operated by, by Prince George's County and not by Metro. I'm not sure how that would impact the Metro Access rules. I'm not an expert in that, but in any case, we don't consider microtransit to be part of the fixed route bus network. It is in its very nature not operating on a fixed route.
And bus rapid transit is not fixed route either, correct?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Most rapid transit is considered fixed route.
Is considered fixed route or not fixed route?
Fixed route.
It is considered fixed route, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good, good. And I'm asking these questions for the committee's education because I think it's important for them to know what will be covered by paratransit and what will not. Thank you.
And just for clarification, paratransit will not go away because of what we're doing. We will still have Metro Access and all other related access services throughout the county. What we're doing here is really try to supplement and provide those alternative services, especially for microtransit, because we've discovered that through our research and public feedback and engagement, this is what the public is telling us, that maybe microtransit will work here because we need these short trips here. However, because microtransit operates within a particular zone, it does not stop and will probably not stop Metro Access from still delivering services within that zone. Neither will it stop our supplemental paratransit in the county, the bus, from providing services within and around the zones.
I'm confused now. If you just said that the microtransit zones were not covered by paratransit, and then you just said that they're covered by paratransit.
So let me say this in another way. Let me not confuse anyone. So because microtransit exists, it will not stop Metro Access from still. So a customer can still use Metro Access and use microtransit at the same time. Does that help?
Yes.
So the customer, if you use microtransit today and tomorrow you still want to use Metro Access, you can do that. If you qualify for Metro Access. If you use
Right.
microtransit today, the next day you use Metro Access if you qualify for it. And the next day you want to use the bus, our call the bus service that is our supplemental paratransit in the county. You still want to use it the third day and you qualify for it, you should be able to use all of the
Okay.
services.
I see. So as long as you qualify for Metro Access, then you can
Yes.
use it within a transit, micro transit zone. But micro transit zone in and of itself does not qualify you for paratransit.
Correct.
Okay, I understand the distinction. That's good. Okay, thank you for that.
Anu, there are hands up from Oh, there one other member of
We have
Vanessa.
Chair Calabia. We have actually several hands up. Vanessa, I'll go through the AAC members first.
Yes.
We have Vanessa Coles, we have Steve Kaffen.
Right.
I see somebody on National Federation. I'm not sure if that's Tuan Farmer. If that's Tuan, then we
It
will.
is a new, that is me.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tuan. Then we will take Tuan and then we can go to the member of the public. So,
Thank
Vanessa, if you will unmute yourself.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Okay, thank you.
Participants for
I am an African
ASL
American
interpreter verdict.
middle-aged woman. I have worn a t-shirt today. So I have a couple of questions, but I'll narrow it down. So the micro transit that you have, I thought that was in place because it was a desert area or area where there was not providing transportation. Therefore, Metro Access is not really going there, are they? So I'm kind of confused about what that service is all about. And is there a fee for that? For that service, because I've never heard of it. I mean, I'm not one to take public transportation like that, but how does the public know about that? It sounds like, was it something created for those folks out there at MGM that didn't have transportation to get to work? I'm not sure about how that works. But and then my other question or concern is I live in an area where we are highly. We have homeowners
Alert.
association, and a lot of times they get pushback on trying to get transit bus stops in
Participants
it
alert.
because they don't want the bus services. You know, certain areas don't want to have bus services. How are you all handling that? Are you putting them in these areas anyway, or is it based on the community, what the community wants? So I'll stop there.
ASL inter.
So I'll take that. Let me start with your last question. We work with our community stakeholders, and we understand that certain
Andrew,
communities
ASL Inter,
may not want
speech on
public
demand.
transit. I think one of the things that the county has done well over the past couple of years has really been our efforts to effectively educate and engage our different communities across the county in terms of the needs and expectations for transportation. And we engage with these communities. We talk to them about why transportation or transit is important in these communities and why it's important for us to deliver the type of services that we're delivering. For example, we may have a community where it's a residential, but you have a lot of single family homes. Still, in that community, you have a lot of folks with no vehicles, and they need to use either Metro Access or they need to use microtransit or another transit service to fulfill their appointments. We have seniors who do not drive, who may want to attend their a doctor's appointment or go out for leisure, they need metro access. So one of the things that we've been doing is just going to these communities, explain why transit is important and why alternative forms of transit is important. There are some communities where it does not make sense to run a bus because not a lot of people are going to use the bus. There are some communities where they have some legitimate concerns about buses running on the streets where kids play around a lot, or where the buses run out there and the asphalt becomes, it deteriorates over time. But the most important thing that we've been able to do in the county is go back and engage these communities, try to build consensus, try to find areas of opportunities that we can work with these communities to either serve their need or understand some of their concern. And this is an ongoing, continuous effort in the county. I don't know if that answers your question, but that is really how we're approaching
All
this type of issues. Please
participants.
go ahead.
Yes, and just to follow up on that, like WMATA, would PGB would PG consider doing something with Uber or with Lyft, or you serve as a supplement also?
We have something that we're doing
Android,
right now with Lyft.
ASL into speech on demand.
So we have a partnership with Lyft right now for Saturday services that we provide. It is for most of our customers who qualify through our taxi program. So we have a partnership right now with Lyft where we provide some services. It is limited,
If I
but
might clarify that that
okay.
service is not with Lyft, it's with Uber.
Oh, with
And
Uber.
it's
Okay, sorry.
right.
Yes.
And it's for pre-registered dialysis medical based trips only on Saturdays.
Thank you, Simone.
You're welcome.
I wanted to answer the question just about the fare for PGC Link. So the fare is $2. The service first entered a pilot phase about 5 years ago, I believe. And I will note that one of the elements of the plan to expand service is not only to increase the number of zones and expand coverage, but also to improve the marketing of the service. We have absolutely heard from other folks that this is not a service they were aware of. I know you asked a question about why is this in places where there is already bus service? And one of the ideas behind microtransit is to ensure good internal circulation within a given zone. It is true that there is bus service in Fort Washington and in Accokeek, but that bus service stays on one or two main roads. And there are people who don't live anywhere near those bus stops who still need to access fixed route transit or need to get around their communities. So one of the main goals of microtransit is to ensure that people who don't live right on those main corridors or within relatively short distance of where fixed route bus stops are, that they still have access to transit as well.
Okay, Vanessa, if that did, was that the end of your questions? If yes, then we can go to Steve Caffin.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Very impressive presentation. Almost overpowering in the depth of information. Within the presentation, there were a couple of percentages. One was 70% reliability with a goal, I think, to 80% and hopefully more. And the other, bus frequency, 36 minutes. And I'm wondering if those will be affected by the implementation of better bus network changes in late June. And if so, in the final document that you're putting together, whether you'll take that into account.
Thanks so much. Yeah, those numbers will improve with the implementation of Better Bus in late June. So we will see the frequency improve in the peak period. This is a peak period statistic right here. So it will improve from 36 to 33 minutes. One of the other elements of all of this planning and scheduling work that we've done is, yeah, we want to make sure the bus arrives on time. And so the county's been very focused in its last several years on analyzing actual runtime data and then adjusting runtimes of routes at that next service change. So the 70% statistic, which is the latest rate of on-time performance, is an improvement from certainly from 2 years ago, because over the last several service changes, the county has looked at how long does it actually take in that, the core of the AM peak when roads are most congested, how long does it actually take to go from end to end on a given route? And let's adjust that runtime so that we're giving our customers a more realistic expectation as to when that bus will show up. That's one of the strategies that the county is able to do now in the absence of implementing any sort of transit priority on its roads. But we can just give customers a truer sense as to when that bus will arrive. So that's a continuous process to look at those, to look at runtimes and to adjust schedules. And we certainly hope that the latest schedules that are being rolled out in June will continue to reflect that analysis.
Okay, thank you. Now, oh, by the way, I forgot. Caucasian, black hair, wearing a blue shirt, and there we are. What you I you know I'm impressed with the 80 interactions that you had in putting this together. It's quite remarkable. And I'm wondering, I'm just curious how long that took, and if those interactions will be reflected in the Better Bus Network rollout.
Yeah, so the over 80 events include 39 events that were specifically dedicated to the TVP, and then another 44 events where the county joined Metro in conducting outreach across the county, because we consider Better Bus, a staple of the Transit Vision Plan. And yes, as someone who personally read thousands and thousands of comments that we received over the course of maybe 2.5 years of outreach, I can assure you that feedback has been reflected in the plan. There's a lot of elements of the public feedback and of the themes of public feedback that were then incorporated in this final network that will be implemented in June.
Thank you. Thanks.
I also wanted to add that some of the changes, for example, the county will run a bus route from College Park to Adelphia Road to service the National Archives. That is a re result of the public feedback that we got. Originally, that route wasn't meant to be operated by the county, but as we went out there, we spoke to our stakeholders and constituents, and we realized that that was something that we needed to do. So, just to give you an idea of how much the public feedback plays into what we've done here for the TVP and the Better Bus Network redesign.
And the same goes for the route to the Goddard Space Flight Center, which also is a product of public feedback.
Thank you. Thanks.
And next will be Tawan Farmer, and then Janice Samuel. She is a member of the public. So Tawan, if go ahead, please.
Thank you, Anu. First, gentlemen, I like what I'm hearing so far. Being out here in Prince George's County, especially in the outskirts of the county. My first question was answered about cost. So the second part of that is in relationship to PG Link, a couple of short questions. One, for those who are very much involved in accessibility, does the link already exist so that someone can kind of, get their hands on it and kind of play around with it, or is it still, waiting for the appropriate time for it to go into full release? And two, the concept of point to point, staying within zones, and more specifically, using the term point to point to refer to, I come out, get in this vehicle. Which, I don't know what how it's defined, how it's marked. Is it a van? Is it a car? Just for clarification, is it a shared? Will there be shared elements to that? Because, I'm just looking for efficiency from an efficiency standpoint, especially since it's a micro transit. What's the range that a zone could be? So those are kind of that's my ballpark of questions. I don't need to circle back.
Great. Yeah. So thanks so much for those questions, Mr. Farmer. Right now, the current PGC link zone is operational. So if you are in Accokeek, Fort Washington, National Harbor, Clinton area, then you can call the service. Rides may be shared. I don't know if you ever used Uber. Sorry, I'm forgetting the specific name of the Uber imprint where there were shared rides in Uber, but it is structured to function in a similar way. It may
Uber,
be.
was it
Thank
Uber?
you. Thank you. Yes, thanks, Ifan. It's Uber Pool. So microtransit is meant to be functionally very similar to Uber Pool. Of course, if you ever called an Uber Pool, you know that sometimes you never got another customer in your ride. That's just the way that the algorithm works. But yes, you can expect that you may wind up in a shared ride with someone else. The vehicles are all branded with PGC Link. Some of them look like sort of a regular car. Some of them are very small buses. And I did specifically use the term point to point just to clarify, because some microtransit services in other areas of the country will not come maybe directly to your door, but you'll enter your origin and destination, and then they'll say, okay, well, we're going to pick you up at this street corner, which is a block and a half away, maybe from where you live. And that's just another operating model of microtransit, but that's not the model that's in place here.
And also,
Okay.
then I want to just add, so when we talk about point to point, we can also look at it like a curb to curb service. We don't, for microtransit, we're not going to do microtransit the way that Metro Access operate from door to door, but it's going to be like Uber service, as Finn said. The vehicle maybe start, just around the corner, right in front of your door, but they don't provide that door-to-door service, just for clarity.
All
So
right,
it's
thank you.
back to curb as need be, and then to the next point of destination. It is on demand, and one of the challenges that we're having, and that we're working through right now, so that we can launch this service and make sure that it is something that our customers are going to like, is that we're working on some technology components. This is a service that requires a lot of back-end technology and bringing the latest type of technology to the public. So as Finn mentioned, we have a plan, an operations plan for microtransit that we're working through to do the launch for the service. There are a few things that we're trying to work through with our vendors for the technology, and then work on integrating and how we're going to manage the service in a way that is going to be reasonable. So once that is cleared, I think we'll be ready to start the service. But we're still working on a few issues so that we can be at a point where we can successfully launch the microtransit service.
Well, it does look very adventurous, and I look forward to seeing how it evolves. So, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Janice,
Mm-hmm.
please unmute yourself. There we go.
Hi, thank you, Anu.
Sure.
Three items. First, you mentioned that Lynx is a microtransit and Haulabus, though, still does require 2 weeks scheduling notice. So is that going to be adjusted? I know the question was asked about 2 weeks in advance, but it seemed that you answered it in reference to Lynx and not Haulabus, which still does have a 2 week requirement. And my second question was, when these fixed route extensions that will occur this year are implemented, how will the citizens and WMATA, how will we be informed that the implementation has taken place? And my last comment was, to the greatest extent possible, I would recommend using the same terminology that is used with WMATA, even if you're not doing door to door, then I would recommend saying curb to curb instead of point to point, because people won't know what the point is. You know, people will assume it's a door. So if it's going to be curb to curb, I would recommend using that language. So those are two questions and one comment.
Yes, thank you, Janice. I agree. We're gonna synchronize and make sure that we're using the language that that folks are familiar with, like curb to curb. So yes, we'll do that. To your first question about the 2 weeks advance booking period for callables, I thought we have like 7 days, but I may be wrong, but I thought our policy is 7 days advance
No, it's
booking.
2 weeks. Yeah.
No, it is 7 days, a
Oh,
seven
it's
day
2 weeks.
advance reservation. And
Oh,
we're
okay.
evaluating for the next day. We are evaluating the system for next day.
Okay, that's great. That's advancement. Okay. And what about how will we know when these new fixed route systems have been implemented?
Sure. Yeah. So both the county and metro are putting together a really extensive outreach and engagement plan right now. You'll begin to see some signs of it in the next few weeks. I believe that within 2 weeks, the county will be posting all the information about its brand new routes. And Metro's trip planner will be updated, I think, no later than the beginning of May, but possibly sooner, with the new bus routes for both Metro Bus and for Prince George's County's bus. So what you'll be able to do with that trip planner is it will sketch out your trip as if the new service were already implemented. So you can continue to use the old trip planner if you're trying to schedule a trip prior to June 29th, but there will be an option within the trip planner to sketch out what your future trip would look like with that brand new service. So
Gotcha.
that trip planner will probably be the core tool if you're just sitting at home, but you'll definitely see a lot of outreach folks from the county and from Metro stationed all across the region, really. There will be a lot of in-person events, in particular in June, when we're just several weeks out, to make sure people are aware of this. It hasn't quite happened in Maryland yet, but if you've been in Virginia at all in the last couple of weeks, you may have seen some of the new bus stop signs already starting to go up. Those signs will, of course, go up across the whole region over the next several months, but we started in Virginia, and those signs say what routes are operational through June 28th, but then in much larger text, they indicate what the new routes are starting on June 29th. And I believe the AAC was involved with, or like I've seen the design of those bus stop signs. They all indicate the destination of the route, so that's a new addition to those bus stop flags compared with existing routes. And those bus stop flags will be used for the county's routes as well. So a bus stop flag in Prince George's County will have that same exact design that you'll see for Metro bus stops. They'll indicate the route number and the destination for Metro bus and for the bus routes that serve those stops.
And will you be utilizing the television news media for any of these announcements?
That's a good question. I know that we've talked among the county team around notifying the media. We want to make sure that however people get their news, they're aware of this. So we can absolutely, we can make a point to share information with television news as well.
Thank you.
Have some paid media, but we're still working through the plan. That is a good question that you raised. I didn't think about it before now, but we'll definitely bring that up to our marketing manager and see if this is something that we can do.
Thank
Put
you. It
in.
would be appreciated.
All right, great.
Finn,
Mr. Chair Calabria, this is, I know Mr. Blake has raised his hand. I believe he's trying to add some comments.
sure.
Sure.
Mr. Blake, please go ahead.
Yeah, just one quick clarification for Ms. Samuel made a great point about language and similar language, but I think we want to just have one bit of clarification. When Metro Access uses the term curb to curb, that implies we're still going to drop you off at the curb in front of your specific drop-off address, either your home or your destination. It may not just be taking you directly to the door. With most microtransit, so that's where they're going to clarify, if they're using the term point to point, that may not imply directly in front of your home. It could be the bus stop at the corner. So if they're implying the address, then you're right, Ms. Samuel, the language could be used the same. But if this is a microtransit that has sort of designated locations along the area, curb to curb may give riders a different impression than what the service is actually providing.
Right. And I just think point to point is fuzzy. People are going to assume it's one or the other, that it is not, you know.
I apologize. I think I led us astray with the use of the term point to point, which is, I think, not the county's official terminology. But I do want to clarify that the PGC link service will take you directly from the address you enter as your origin to the address you enter as your destination. There aren't little hubs along the way that they'll route you to instead.
Okay, great.
Okay,
Great.
so then Ms. Samuel's right. Curb to curb can help, at least for the Metro Access customers. Thank you. Appreciate that. For that.
Finn or Yvonne, you mentioned the trip planner. When will that be available?
I believe that what I last heard from the folks at Metro who operate the trip planner by early May, potentially sooner, but I don't have a specific date yet.
Yeah, in some of the materials, well, one of the presentation materials we received earlier had a panel which was labeled Our Next Steps. And they talked about what will happen in late April, late May, etc. Is that panel being re-edited, or do we have enough information from what you've said today on when those steps will take place?
Sure, you're asking. I pulled up the slide now. I don't know if you're able to see it, Mr.
This
Chairman.
is
It
a slide, right?
yeah, so this slide indicates by late April, we will finish and publish the first draft of the TVP.
Yes.
And by late April, we will also launch that website that will host the TVP for public comment. So yeah, we can promise that will happen by the end of the month. We're finalizing the exact publication date right now, but it will certainly happen this month. And then we will have that public comment period open for a month after its publication. So I guess I should clarify, this bullet point says by late May, we'll update the TVP. It's by late May, we will close the public comment period, and then we will begin to undertake those efforts to incorporate the public comment we heard into the final version of the TVP, which will then be published shortly after. We will also publish the tech reports at the end of May. So the tech reports are much more detailed than the TVP itself, and they take all of the implementation actions and strategies into more specifics.
Terrific. Let me mention that the kind of materials that were shared with us today, the presentation materials, especially should they be revised, if you would share the new version with us, but also importantly, if you would send those presentation materials to Maryland Senator Malcolm Augustin and also Maryland Delegate Jazz Lewis. When we met with them back in August, they seemed to be unaware of the kinds of things we were asking about, and I think they would appreciate receiving them, or should appreciate receiving them and knowing when what you've just shared with us. Now let's see. Are there any other questions from members or members of the public?
So Chair Calabia, this is Anu. I just want to state that we do have the updated deck of slides, and I will be sharing that with the committee. Just did not have a chance to do that earlier because of the timing. Okay. The committee will be receiving it, the updated version.
Yes. And as I said, I'd like to repeat again that the updated version be shared with members of the Maryland Senate and the Maryland Assembly, General Assembly, with whom we met in August. let's see, are there any final questions?
I've had my, this is Bill Orleans. I've had my hand raised physically above my picture, my head, for some time now.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I have missed, unfortunately, most of this meeting because I have had bad connection problems. I did hear about 10 minutes ago someone from Prince George's County talking about the outreach that has been done. Just a few minutes ago, I heard the suggestion that the TVB would be published at the end of the month. And there would be a period of public comment. I'm hopeful, I have been assured previously, I'm hopeful that during the period of time public comment is open, the TVP will be more than just have been published on the county's website or the department's website, but there are going to be public meetings where people can come and look at various charts and easel board displays and ask questions, and a plenary where people can ask questions of county department of public works and transportation staff. Will that be the case?
Ifan or Ben?
Hey, Bill. This is Ifan. Yes, we will do some public meetings as part of this about this comment period. We plan on putting most of the information on the website. We also plan on doing some virtual meetings. One of the things that we really hope to do more is to do a lot of meetings with different stakeholders. For example, the chairman just talked about Senator Augustine and Delegate Jack Lewis. We want to have those opportunities to also present this information to some of these stakeholders. But to your question, yes, we will have opportunities where we're going to interact with the public and answer their questions.
Mr. Pate, I thank you for that. But just posting and publishing the public meetings and their venue on the website is insufficient. Every county library, as well as every county municipal building or planning department, community center, should get a flyer with all the venues and the dates and times of these public meetings with regard to the Transdivision Plan, so that more people will have access to when these will be occurring than just those people who are fortunate enough to be able to look it up on the department's website. So I'm hoping you'll avail yourself of every opportunity to make possible to you to make it known to residents and visitors of the county when these public meetings will be.
That's a good idea, Bill. We'll take that to our outreach team and see how we can put those flowers out there. Thank you.
And Ms. Hackett has my phone number. She can call me personally, since she's not done so when I've asked twice in the last 3 weeks for her to do so, to let me know when the first venue will be. Thank you very much, Tina.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm sorry, Mr. Orleans, I've called you twice and left you two voicemails.
I'm sorry, Ms. Hackett, I did not receive them, or I don't think I received them. But we can talk about this. But thank you if you did, but I don't think I've received them.
Okay. Any final words from or questions for Ifan or Finn or any other presenter from Prince George's County?
Tino, this is Janice. Real quick, in response to Mr. Orleans, many of the county council members push out notices of public hearings or gatherings if each of the council members could, do that. That would be an additional means of communication to the county citizens.
So, Efan, you heard if there's some way you could go through the those officials and have them cooperate in this venture, we'd all appreciate it. Now it is 5:44. We obviously are going to have to pick up on the second item of this Monday's agenda at our next meeting. But with the 15 minutes left, are there any final statements regarding this wonderful materials and the presentation that was given by Efan and his colleagues and Finn, the consultant? Any last questions? If not, we have to really thank you for the splendid presentation materials and to be able to see the revised version that Anu will share with us. And we thank you for all that. if there's any way we can be of further help in sharing your information or providing additional help. For example, I will send you, Efan and Finn, the picture of the TMT bus stop. Really looks like a great bus stop. And since you'll be building new ones and maybe revamping the existing ones, perhaps you can learn something from it. Meanwhile, if there's no other question or statement.
You know, this is Sandy. I'd like to say one more thing. I would really like to thank Efan and Finn for coming and speaking. I'm sorry if I sounded a little skeptical with my original comment, but you have pulled together a lot of information and the data and statistics and how you're trying to improve and expand the bus, the microtransit, how you're trying to make the bus routes more efficient in coordination with Metro. It's impressive. I hope this all comes to fruition smoothly. So thank you for the presentation today and thank you for your hard work.
Yes. We thank you. And by the way, I don't know if Don Drummer, a board member who's been with us in the recent past on this subject, but we should also thank him for helping us gain the kind of information we finally got today. Thank you, Don Drummer. Thank you, members of the committee, members of the public. And do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Here, Calabia, this is Zenu. We do have somebody on, I believe they're on Android phone with their hand up.
Oh, sure.
And if I would also say that if any members of the public would like to make any public comments, please do so now. I do not know who this individual is, but if you can, you are off of mute. If you can just state your name and share your comment, whether it's for public comment section or does it relate is or is it related to the topic we are of the discussion?
Yes. Andrea Stokes Jackson, I'm on the Android. I wanted to know about Call a Bus. You call on Monday and you have to do all 5 days for the next week, or can you call Monday and then maybe call Wednesday for the next week?
If
I can respond. We are working on the process, but right now it is called on Monday and you make the appointments for the 7 days.
Okay, so you don't call every day. You call one day for all your trips on the next week.
That is correct, yes. And we are refining that process.
Thank you.
Thank you, Samia.
You're welcome.
Any other member of the public that has?
No, we don't have any additional hands up, but I just want to state that any members of the public, if you would like to send us your comments through email, that email is metroaacchair@wmata.com, or you can call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. And that concludes my announcement. Thank you, Chair Calabia.
Okay, it is 5:49. We are postponing the second agenda item until our next meeting. For now, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I make that motion, Chino.
Thank you, Steve. A second for that motion?
Second, Sarah.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Hearing no objections, this meeting is adjourned. And once again, I thank our guests, the public members who spoke up, and the members who have been working on this since August. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned. Bye.